Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Schadenfreude? Everybody must have screamed, ah! He's a sung hero. A little pushy-pushy. Are you back from listening to Stairway to Heaven twice? Now, those are just words I looked up on the internet.
Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball, starts now.
Hello. From the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and a lot has happened since the last episode. And I'm on the microphone to talk about the exhibition game, but there's plenty to talk about. But let's start first with tonight, and we'll work backwards. Tonight, an exhibition game in the Coliseum, West Virginia 185-78. It's not the story of this game. The story was Akokakook collapsing at the first TV timeout in the second half. Very scary. Not the first person to collapse on a basketball court. It's scary. Good news, Akokakook texting teammates after the game. He's at the hospital. He's going to stay overnight for observation. We'll see how. I just want to, without talking about basketball, I just want to wish the best for Akokakook with his health and his well-being after experiencing that. And the Coliseum was pin drop quiet. It was scary. And he was being attended to for what felt like forever. It was 15 to 20 minutes, I think, before he was carted out. And would I have been upset if they said, you know what, we're good. This game doesn't count. Let's just call it because, you know, our guy just collapsed and not knowing what was happening there. Would have been totally fine with that. It sounded like George Mason's coach left it up to Coach Eilert. Coach Eilert got a sense from his team that they wanted to finish, and they did. That's not a right or wrong situation. I was good if they would have stopped playing, but they continued playing. So not basketball related, Akokakook. Hope you're feeling better. Hope they figure out what happened tonight and take care of yourself. Outside of basketball, just you take care of yourself, and I send you best wishes and hope that everything is well with you physically. But this is not the, but this is a basketball podcast, and they finished the game, and West Virginia won a close game 85-78 over George Mason, and they lost a close game in the secret scrimmage against Vanderbilt. And I got to say, you know, all of the crazy things that could happen outside of what happened with Akook in the second half that nobody plans for, basketball-wise, all the bad things happen to a thin roster. Jesse Edwards, two fouls before the first TV timeout. Akokakook, two fouls before the second TV timeout. Kirk Creasa, the guy I'm expecting, based on earlier news this week, to play a ton, had three fouls in the first half. None of that is a recipe for winning. And obviously, West Virginia was losing with that concoction of fouls for WVU. They were losing it going into halftime. And so good that that happens in the exhibition so you can throw out different lineups and you got Quinn Slezinski out there at the five. But that's not a recipe for winning. And it's not a recipe for winning because Jesse Edwards, based on one game that I've seen him in a Mountaineer uniform play against a team that's not WVU, he's really good at basketball on both sides of the floor. Three block shots, 21.7 rebounds, and Eilert was just dumping it to him. The team was like, get it to that guy. Get it to the guy with the Lego shoulders. Like, there's a lot of right angles with Jesse Edwards. Like, it goes from neck to shoulder. That's 90 degrees on both sides. And from shoulder to arms, it feels like it looks like it's 90-degree angles. He's Lego. He's a Lego guy that's really good at basketball. So if he's not on the court, that's a problem. And he's not going to average. He can't average 38 minutes a game. And he's struggling with not being in a 2-3 zone, which is, we all knew that is going to be an adjustment. And he played man-to-man before he got to Syracuse. But that, doing that at Division I level, it's going to take some work. And it's going to be the game plan for opponents, is that get that Lego guy, get that tall Lego guy in foul trouble. We don't want to see him on the court. But offensively, better than what I had in my mind. In my mind, he's finishing alley-oops, which he did tonight. There was plenty of pointing up and a few times where he got it. But him creating shots on his own, better than I expected. Mid-range, didn't think he had that. So totally impressed in one game that didn't count with Jesse Edwards. Other big picture things, you know, Josh Eilert, for all, he does a lot of coach speak in his press conferences, but when he gives information about his team, it's very transparent. Like, what he's been saying about what he's seeing in practice and when asked about specific guys, in one exhibition game, I saw what he was talking about. He's been talking about how well Josiah Harris is rebounding. And Josiah Harris, in the starting lineup, led the team in rebounding, had four offensive rebounds. It stood out, especially early on, where that guy's going for rebounds. And Josiah Harris has a good game. When Josh Eilert has been asked about Ofrey Neve, he said he's really talented, high IQ. He's going to be really good. He was really good tonight. He led the team in minutes. Now, I did not have that. Of all the things, you know, you go into the season with all new guys pretty much, with not having a good feel for what to expect. But even with those parameters, the freshman guy from Israel leading the team in minutes, that's an upset. That's an upset for sure. And he looked smooth offensively. 3 assists, 5 rebounds. One time he got the ball right above the foul line, drove it, dunked it. I mean, the it was wide open, but he did the work. He got to the basket, dunked it. Very smooth, very smooth. He could get big boyed. He's got to get in the weight program, but as far as talent, I mean, you could totally see it. And for him to play, again, led the team in minutes. Did not have that. But Josh Eilert has talked him up, and that's what it looked like. You know what else Josh Eilert has talked about? I'm worried about rebounding, which they out-rebounded George Mason by one. And I'm concerned defensively. And he has a right to be, because George Mason, first half, 13 for 21, 62% shooting. I wouldn't describe it as soft defense. And yes, some of that can be attributed to Jesse Edwards having to sit a bunch and a cook having to sit a bunch. But even so, even with that, 62%, that's not all George Mason. I mean, they were kind of getting what they wanted, and they were getting it to the basket and either drawing a foul or getting to the rim. They had open shots. They made some tough ones in my mind, but also they could have been guarded better. So it's not saying one thing in the press conferences and like you don't, what he's saying lines up with what I saw tonight. He talks about offense and how they're unselfish. They share the ball. And you saw that tonight. He said the offense is going to be different. It's way different, right? Lots of pick and roll, lots of ball screens, lots of five out, some sets that are going from five out. They did get some baskets off of some quick plays, but they are unselfish. When they're passing the ball, it looks really good, especially when it ends with it in Jesse Edwards' hands. And he'll make the open pass if he feels the double team, which it came a bunch, and he's going to have that a ton. You can't guard that guy with one guy. So a lot of West Virginia's success this season is going to be him finding the open guy out of the double team, and then the guy who's open making that shot. West Virginia was not making open shots in the first half, and they did a little bit better in the second half. So offensively, it is not running flex cuts. It is not running motion. It wasn't a situation like, oh, I've got all this new stuff. Oh, I need to revert back to Coach Huggins' offense. I don't think that's going to happen. Not that I thought that it would, but I gave it a percentage chance that it could happen like that. Didn't happen. It looks new. It will be something that when people watch, they can get behind. You also can see why in a secret scrimmage in this game, they play really close. Because it was close all the way through. I mean, George Mason had a 10-point lead in the first half, and West Virginia made runs in the second half. But they just, defensively, you don't see a stopper. Besides Edwards. But as you know, the college game, a lot of that's happening outside. And so the guards, the defense of the guards is about what I had in my head. And the pick and roll defense was not good. I mean, Edwards is kind of backing up. He's not hedging. And so that led to dunks, that led to open shots, miscommunication. It can get better, but it's funky. And that's what Eilert's been saying. So overall, here's what I've got. Trust what Eilert is saying about the team outside of the coach speak. Jesse Edwards is really good at basketball. Quinn Slezinski is a confident man. He had a good night. Josiah Harris did get some buckets tonight. Getting rebounds. They struggle with rebounding and they struggle with defense. But I don't think, especially if those guys aren't in foul trouble, I don't have any concerns based on one game with offense. But what I also know after one game is that you got to have luck with injuries this year, because Kerr's got to play a ton and Jesse Edwards has got to find a way to be on the court a ton. And you can increase the chances of those things happening. And it's not something that you can practice and control. You just got to have good luck with injuries. So you got to have luck there. And you've got to figure out a way to stay, besides injuries, for those guys to stay on the court. Because the block charge thing that we've been hearing about, that's another true statement. There was plenty of offensive fouls called. It was mostly for moving on a screen. There was maybe a couple of charges, but man, there was a hand, especially, and I'm paying more attention to the WVU side. Two of Kerr's three fouls in the first half, he thought he was in good position for a charge and got called a block. Seth Wilson got a foul at half court, looked like he was in position, got called a block. We've heard going into this season that's going to shift way over. Like charges are going to go down, blocks are going to go up. And on one game that didn't count, that's a fact, Jack. I mean, it was, and I don't know. And so the concerns about keeping Jesse Edwards on the court, if they're going to call it like that, I mean, what do you do? Do you Matador? Like, I guess they got to figure it out. I don't know how you, I don't know how you do that. But that led to a lot of the foul trouble. And two George Mason players fouled out. So plenty of fouls on both sides. Very close game. Josh Eilert, he's still 0-0, but he got an exhibition win in on a night where that's not the main story. The main story is we want a cook to be okay. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Follow Smoking Musket on the X at Smoking Musket. Listen to a WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. West by Pod. Two losses in a row for WVU football. Going to the bounce house tomorrow. Can they right the ship? Listen to Joel and Jordan preview this episode, Lick Their Wounds, from the Oklahoma State game. Great information. Great podcast. West by Pod, Smoking Musket. Check it out. Why does WVU need, I guess every year you need injury luck. But when you have a thin roster, it's even more important. And news on Monday affects WVU's depth. On Monday, NCAA came back for the long-awaited Raekwon Battle waiver decision, and they said, nah, denied. I wonder if it came back with the big stamp like Red got when his parole was denied. I don't know. But they got the news back. And is that the most shocking news in the world? It's not. See Jose Perez last season. See Omar Silverio in the offseason. Look around the country. If you don't have your bachelor's and you're transferring for the second time, the NCAA most likely denying your waiver. So that happened here. It was based on Raekwon's mental health. I think they took their time in making that case, and it got denied. So also not the most shocking news, West Virginia is going to appeal. They said that in their statement Monday when we found out that his appeal was denied or his waiver request was denied. So the next steps, which is a fairly new thing, is government officials communicating with the NCAA about specific waiver requests. And so in West Virginia, Monday, we get the news that Raekwon Battle's waiver has been denied. Current Attorney General and gubernatorial candidate Patrick Morrissey, he tweeted on Tuesday. Let me read the tweet or the X post. It's just, I don't know. That it's hard to shake Twitter terminology. Quote, the recent decision to deny Raekwon Battle's eligibility to play basketball at WVU this season raises serious legal issues that demand answers. Like many WVU fans and citizens of West Virginia, I was dismayed by this move and am hopeful it can still be fixed in time for the 2023-24 season. At WVU Hoops, which is very important on Twitter. We are engaged on this matter and we'll be weighing in more formally in the days ahead. We want to make sure the right things happen for Raekwon and WVU, and that any action taken is consistent with the rule of law. As the Attorney General of West Virginia, I take our antitrust authority seriously, and will take all appropriate steps to ensure our laws are followed. That was a tweet, unquote. That's the tweet from Patrick Morrissey. So government official, that's not a letter to the NCAA, but he's calling a shot. More formal actions in the days ahead. That's not all. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice, he sent a letter to the NCAA today. He tweeted about it, asking them to revisit their decision. And he signed it and everything. Now, why would they get involved? They may have would have gotten involved anyways. The precedence here of why they would get involved, you got to look to the state of North Carolina. Tez Walker, North Carolina football player, waiver denied, and the NCAA got a letter from North Carolina's attorney general. I think the word illegal was in his letter. The governor wrote a letter, and soon after, the NCAA say they received new information, and our friend Tez Walker granted immediate eligibility, and he's playing for the Tar Heels. So if it worked there, I guess the thinking is it'll work in other states. And Cincinnati had a guy waiver denied. The Ohio Attorney General has wrote a letter, basically copied and pasted the North Carolina Attorney General's letter and just filled in different blanks for the Cincinnati player. I think other states are doing this. Will that make a difference for the NCAA? Who's to say? But we'll see. And I don't know how long it's going to take. I would assume the appeal for the waiver denial is in process and will be submitted soon, because the season starts not this coming Monday, but the following Monday, November 6th. I'd be shocked if we hear news before then, but it sounds like that's the goal. And so we'll see how that plays out. But if Raekwon Battle cannot play, just by numbers, you have a roster of 11 guys, because Battle would be out. Noah Farrakhan is out for this season. Ali, R-A-G-A-B, I don't know how to say his last name. He's a walk-on. He's going to play very little. Jeremiah Bembry, he did not get into the game tonight. He was an observer tonight. And so that gets you down to 9. And those 9 guys played tonight. And you only need 5 to play basketball. And really, in theory, you can make it work for a college basketball season going 7 deep, going 8 deep. Like, it's not unheard of. It's not uncommon. It feels uncommon for the Huggins era. If you go back to the Beeline days, those benches were not deep. Like, it went 7 or 8 deep with Beeline teams. So we're not, it's just different for WVU coming out of how Bob Huggins liked to have a longer bench. But looking at this roster, it's going to make it interesting, as we talked about in the first segment, with foul trouble if injuries pop up. Because when it looked way different when Kerr was sitting, it looked different when Edwards was not in. And those guys can't play 40 minutes a game for 30 plus games. But how are the rotations going to work? Because if Bembry's not playing, then you've got 3 guards. You've got 3 cards. You've got Kerr. You've got starter Seth Wilson, and you got Kobe coming off the bench. And those are your options. 3 guards, and it looks like Quinn can handle the ball all right. And it looks like Offrey was not terrible dribbling the basketball. But you're leaving it up to those 3. And in the style of offense that Josh Eilert showed tonight, we'll see what that looks like when Kerr's not out there. I think they can make it work. It's just razor thin. And so you foul trouble is one thing. Injury, House of Cards seems strong, but if they don't have injury luck this season, it's just a numbers thing. It's just a numbers thing. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Shout out to Akoka Cook. I want to wish you the best health. Yeah, that was super scary, dude. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. Josh Eilert for the 2023-2024 season. He has 0 wins and he has 0 losses.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.